Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study taught by Stephen Miller titled Seven Baptisms. This is part two of two.
We as Christians are actually dead in Christ. It's something that you have to get used to, but every single person who received Jesus Christ as their Savior is actually dead already. They're dead in Christ. And you can't get undead. So, you know, what's that TV show where they go around and kill everybody, and there's like a whole bunch of Walking Dead. Oh, it's The Walking Dead. Okay, completely untrue. That TV series is completely untrue, and actually reminds me of a story that I'll tell real quick. So I used to work at Wendy's. And I would encounter several different types of people from different backgrounds. One time, I was working with this extremely left-wing liberal lady, and we were talking about guns. And I was like, oh yeah, I have an AK-47. And she's like, an AK-47? What do you need an AK-47 for? I said, you know, for the Second Amendment, it's my right to be able to bear arms. She's like, no, that's stupid. The Second Amendment, it's stupid. And I was like, well, you know, just in case, you know, the government comes along and tries to oppress us, you know, then I have an AK-47 too. And she's like, no, that's stupid. The government will never do that. Well, you know, during home invasion, you know, maybe somebody will come into my home and I'll be able to shoot them. And they'd be like, you just need to leave. They'll just take your gun and shoot you with it. And I was, you know, just every liberal excuse in the book. And I was countering with everything. And I finally said, you know what? You know the reason why I have an AK-47? It's for the zombie apocalypse. And she's just like, yeah, I guess you need one. We got back to work after that. Zombie apocalypse. So she was big into zombies. She even had a little bumper sticker. So it was like, I hurt zombies. You ever seen that bumper sticker? I don't hurt zombies, I kill them. So, but there are no undead. There are no undead, not undead today. But there is a resurrection. That's not undead, though. So Jesus Christ died, was buried, and then rose from the dead. That doesn't make him undead. That makes him resurrected. There's a difference somehow, but there is. So Jesus is not a zombie. He's alive, okay? He's not dead. And so we, as Christians, we died with Jesus Christ, past tense. We're buried. And then rose from the dead. And is Jesus going to die again? No. Jesus is never going to die again. And we're actually, and look what it says. We're baptized, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. So, we are in him. It's the Jesus is in him and we're in Jesus, and he died and rose again. Okay, he ain't gonna die again. And that's why that right there is the biggest factor as to why eternal security is true, because you're literally in Jesus and he is in you. He died, that means you died. He was buried, that means you are buried. He rose from the dead, that means you will rise from the dead. And there's no escaping that. If you, what this is saying is, if you can lose your salvation, so can Jesus. And if you can die and go to hell after you get saved, so can Jesus. And that ain't happening. It's not happening at all. So that's the baptism of death. Jesus died. So. And then four, we got Peter's water baptism for Israel. And go to Acts chapter 2. So this is a different baptism. It's kind of like John's baptism, but it's different. So... And actually, I think Peter is baptizing here because John baptized. But it's different. Whether he knew it or not, it's different. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, now, okay, so what Peter was doing was he was preaching at these Jews to repent for killing Jesus, basically. It was a whole bunch of Jews and proselytes to Judaism, which are Jews, whether you like it or not. So it was just Jews, basically, there. Not a single Gentile was among them, and that's proven. You can look and see what nations were there, what people were there, starting in verse 9. Oh, wait. Yeah, verse 9. So you can read through there, and you can figure out that all those people were Jews. And, that's what the Bible says. There's no getting around that. So in verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Does it say that? Dang. I guess they weren't talking about salvation. Now let's look at something else. Okay. That's a problem. Go to chapter 16. Because that blows away a lot of... Now, obviously that's a problem. Because that's a salvation passage for a lot of denominations. So there's a problem there. So, verse 16, or chapter 16, go to verse 30. It says... if you're all there, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Okay, and verse 31 says, and they said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Interesting. So, if somebody asks to be saved in the Bible, it clearly says how to get saved. But here... these people didn't ask how to get saved. They just said, what do you want me to do? So if I said, hey, go clean the wall, and then you said, or if I said, hey, this place is really dirty and it needs a sparkling, and then you said, what shall we do? Clean the wall. That's basically what Peter said here. The people asked, what shall we do? It said, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just so you know, remission doesn't mean clearing. So you cannot clear your sins by being baptized with water. It's a completely different word. You can be forgiven, but remission is not regeneration. So, anyway, so it says, it clearly says, what shall we do, not what shall we do to be saved. There is, in Acts 2:38, basically, is not the plan of salvation. So we have Peter's baptism to Israel, where he's not saying how to get saved. And you can actually see down in Acts 2:40, if you go down to Acts 2:40, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, how many people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and save themselves? Not a single one. You cannot save yourself from hell, basically. You cannot save yourself into heaven. It's saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's basically saying, separate yourself from these people. There are these people who killed Jesus Christ, and you need to separate yourself from them and repent. Repent and be baptized to take away, or to, for the remission of sins. So because you sinned, that's basically what it's saying, because you sinned, you need to repent and be baptized. Not repent and be baptized to get saved. So it's kind of like in the church age, we have it where if you confess your sins, if you confess your sins, he is faithful. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. That's basically the message that Peter said right here, was confess your sins so you can get right with God, and then you'll be given the Holy Ghost. So it is not a plan of salvation, not one bit. There's actually never in Acts 2 is there ever Jesus Christ dying for anybody's sins in Acts 2. Never mentioned. You can look from front to back. Never does it say that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead to take away anybody's sins in Acts chapter 2. Not there. We know that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. That's the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's not in Acts 2. Never in Acts 2 does it ever say that Jesus Christ died for anybody's sins. It's just not there. The gospel message is not in Acts 2. Not at all. I could go on, but we'll go on to number 5, the Gentile baptism. So we have different baptisms. That was the baptism for Israel, and now we have a baptism of Gentiles. So go to Acts 10. This is the Gentile baptism. So probably in previous messages we talked about the reason why the Bible's moving from the Jews to the Gentiles, and so on and so forth, and you should go back and listen to those if you haven't listened to those. But this is the Gentile baptism, and if you go to verse 44, so 10:44. Okay, 10:44 says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word." And this is talking about the Holy Ghost fell on Gentiles, just so you know. It fell on Gentiles. So Peter was preaching he's actually preaching pretty much the same message that is in Acts chapter 2. Then he was interrupted by the Holy Spirit when all these Gentiles suddenly started speaking in tongues. And verse 45, and says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished." Now, notice the circumcision did not get the Holy Spirit. It was Gentiles. But there was people of the circumcision there, and those are Jews, of course. So, yeah, it says, "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?' And he," that's Peter, "commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So we can see that it's completely different from what the Church of Christ preaches, where what does the Church of Christ say? They say you get in the water and then you get out of the water and then you're saved. Okay, these guys were filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesying, speaking in tongues before they got in any type of water. They hadn't even gotten John's baptism. There were, you know, we saw in chapter 19 where some people were baptized with John's baptism, and then these guys were Gentiles. They never even read any part of the Old Testament. So they were baptized after they got saved. That's a fact. That's completely different from what the Church of Christ preaches. And there's just no getting around that. So Peter was preaching to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues to show to Israel, as a sign for Israel, for the circumcision that were there, that that Gentiles, they spoke in tongues to show that they could get saved too. That's the reason why they were speaking in tongues, to show to Peter and to the other Jews that God was saving Gentiles. This is the baptism for the Gentiles. So Peter said, can we forbid them water that they should be baptized? Well, the problem is that's, you know, if you say, oh, no, wait, you can't get baptized. If you go to a church and they say you can't get baptized, why are they saying that? Because they don't believe you're saved. Peter said, how can we forbid them water? They need to get baptized because they were saved. And so it's that's the Gentile baptism. So actually, right here is the water baptism that was commanded by Jesus in Matthew 28:19, and it's a baptism that pretty much every hyperdispensationalist will overlook. They never go there. They never talk about it. They never see where Jesus said, "Hey, go forth and baptize." So, and actually, we'll just go there. We'll read it real quick. 28:19. Matthew 28:19. It's part of the Great Commission, is what they call it. 28:19. It says, this is Jesus talking. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." That's awesome music, by the way. That's the preacher's music, just so you know. That's Greg's music. So it says in 28:19, thanks for turning off your ringer. Right, sure. Blame it on the woman. Yeah, that's okay, Adam. It was the woman. It wasn't me. So it's this next thing you know, you'll be blaming it on God. So 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is the Lord." Thank you very much. "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." So that's the water baptism that he's talking about there. Baptize the Gentiles. Or baptize, what was it says? All nations? All nations. That's the Gentiles. All nations. Not just the one. All of them. Okay. So the hyper-dispensationalist doesn't understand that Peter baptized people in Acts 10. And he doesn't understand that Paul actually baptized people. Go to 1 Corinthians, and then we'll wrap it up here in just a second. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Let me see if I can get there first. Sorry, I thought this was going to be a short message, especially since I have to work like at 4 o'clock in the morning. You be quiet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, this is Paul talking. It says, this is Paul talking, not Peter. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So, go back to verse 16. It says, okay, go back to verse 14. Actually, this is part of the whole conversation. It says, this is Paul talking. It says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you." but, you know, what's that guy's name?
Crispus
and Gaius, lest any. So he did say he baptized none of you, except for these guys. Sorry. That's just how Paul talks. It's in complete absolutes, and then he kind of backtrack a little bit. And lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. That's how you say it? Yeah, that's it. Besides. So he did baptize at least, you know, two people and then a household. Maybe some more, yeah. At least. So, yeah, he doesn't know who else he baptized, or he does, you know, that's fine. And then it says, so he did baptize some. So there is a New Testament baptism. If you're a hyperdispensationalist, you could, I don't know, just go against the Bible, though. So you should get baptized. The hyperdispensationalists generally don't believe in baptism in the New Testament. That's why I keep on harping on it. So you should rightly divide the Bible, not wrongly divide the Bible. So, and then we go on further, where it cuts out the whole baptismal regeneration thing. Because what was Paul doing? He was preaching the gospel. Well, if the gospel is get in the water and then come out of the water, he wasn't doing that. Verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So the gospel cannot be to baptized. Amen. That's just that simple. So we have a lot of other verses that we could go over, but we won't. So that's number 5, the Gentile baptism. Number 6, the Spirit baptism. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:13. You're already in 1 Corinthians, so. Spirit baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And then 11 again. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one." I'm sorry, all made to drink into one Spirit. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, so this is important, because there was a Jewish, you know, the baptism for Israel. And then we had the baptism for the Gentiles. Now we have the baptism for everybody, Jew and Gentile. That's everybody, whether you like it or not. And that baptism is into Jesus. We talked about that earlier. You're baptized into his death. So every saved person is put into the body of Christ through the Spirit baptism. So, I hate to say it, but I'm sorry, Dr. Hiles, you're wrong. Jack Hiles is dead wrong on this one. There is a spiritual church. The baptism into Jesus Christ proves that fact. This verse proves that fact. So, we have... you can write this down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 through 32. It's talking about the Spirit baptism. And Ephesians chapter 5 is talking about marriage and family and stuff like that. But really the point is the spiritual baptism. So he's liking that to a marriage between a man and a woman. That's why homosexual marriage is such a terrible, terrible thing. Because it's between a man and a woman. A church and a Christ, okay? Not a church and a church, okay? Then if you're marrying a church and a church, you're basically the Catholic Church, okay? They take Jesus out of the picture and they say, oh, church authority, church supremacy, church. It's homosexual Christianity. That's the best way to describe the Catholic Church. The great whore. So and then you have Galatians. Galatians 2:20 is Christ in us. So that's us in Christ and Christ in us. Okay, then we have the baptism. Number 7 is the baptism in the lake of fire. Let's have fun with this. Go to Acts 1. Go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 3:11. Okay. So this is the great one for Pentecostals. So this is there's a church downtown that we would pass on the bus route. It is St. Matthew's Fire Baptized Holiness Church of the Americas. Could you imagine knocking on somebody's door and trying to preach the gospel to them and be like, "Hi, hey, what do you need? Yeah. Hey, I'm from St. Matthew's Fire Baptized Holiness." Slam. Not going to work. It's hard to be a soul winner when you got a church name that long. That's just making fun of the name. Now let's make fun of their doctrine. Come on. Okay, so Matthew 3:11 says, "I indeed baptize you with water." This is John the Baptist. No, wait. Jesus talking? It's John the Baptist? Yeah, okay. So it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, comma, and with fire." Okay, the Holy Ghost. So go to Acts 1. Keep in mind, Holy Ghost and fire. Say it with me. Holy Ghost and with fire. All right. Good job. Everybody said it. You guys are awesome. All right, so Acts 1:5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and then with fire." Nope. Doesn't say that. Okay, so we're going to go up to Acts 11:15. And so there is no fire there. This is Holy Ghost. 11:15 says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." And fire. No. So we've got to find some fire somewhere. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. So let's see if there's a Holy Ghost in Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 15. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and Holy Ghost." Is that what that says? No. So we can see that there are two different things. Fire is not the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is not fire. So if you're St. Matthew's Fire Baptized Holiness Church of the Americas, you're going to hell. Actually, you're going to the lake of fire. Two different things. All hell is cast into the lake of fire. So the point of this is that it's a doctrinal error to say that you're fire baptized. Now, they go to Acts 2 where the tongues like as of fire.
And it was, they weren't baptized with it.
No, they weren't baptized with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They weren't baptized with it. It just sat on their heads. Yeah, it's a flaming tongue. So, now, I'm sorry, but hell is hot, okay? Hell is hot. God is holy. And you know what? I'm the one preaching. Look at me. Okay. You're worse than the baby. Man. All the babies leave the room. No, stay. Yeah. All right. I was gonna end this message with fire and damnation preaching, but I'm just done.